This is Lightning Power Lunch, Stanley Cup Playoffs Edition, exclusively on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
Victor Hedman to center ice, banks it for Ware Kucherov, across the blind, high slot, left circle, snap goes, score! What a play! A bomb from Stamkos! Wow. Another incredible pass from Kucherov at 3-1 Lightning with 9:37 left in the second.
We're, you know, damn pleased with what's gone on here, but, you know, we haven't done anything yet. You know, we've won a couple games. We're still alive in the series, but series isn't over. And, you know, until you start checking off that fourth win, you know, there's nothing we can sit and hang our hat on. So we're inching our way closer, but I think it's far from over.
The expectation coming into every game is to win. So we realize the challenge ahead. These guys are back against the wall. We've had this opportunity before, and it's the hardest one to get. So we understand that challenge, but we'll be ready. I mean, you know, we had an opportunity to do it in front of our home fans, feed off that. We know they're going to give us their best effort. So we got to match that and then some, and just keep executing. I have confidence in this group that if we play the right way, you know, good things are going to continue to happen.
Well, that's stating the obvious. My goodness. I don't know if anybody anticipated this. I'm a little in shock here speaking to people here on, what's today, May 23rd on a Monday, that the Lightning are up 3-0 in this best-of-seven series against the Florida Panthers. Raise your hand. I can't see you, but let's play along. Raise your hand if you thought that was going to be the case. If you did, you're a smarter man than I am. That might not be saying much, but my goodness. The Tampa Bay Lightning have a chance to not only make this a short series tonight with a win, but a sweep. A sweep. We're going to get into how they did it yesterday afternoon, and then what do they have to do tonight to close things out in four? Because let's make no mistake, they don't want to go back on the road for a fifth game. I mean, look, you'll deal with that if you have to, but you'd like to finish it off tonight at Amalie Arena if you can. Of course, you can listen to that game right here on Lightning Power Play. It is Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. I am Greg Linelli, along with the radio host of the Lightning, Dave Mishkin. Steve Ersnick's our producer at Bolts Radio, is where you can get in touch with us. Do you think the Lightning finish it off tonight? What's been the biggest surprise so far for you through three games? I think a lot of people can go in different directions, but, you know, partner, when we take a look at last night's game or yesterday afternoon's game, we're going to get into some the nuances of what happened specifically. But big picture, when I considered that I felt like game three was going to be the one where the Lightning should be getting the Panthers' best shot, understanding the circumstances, I came away very pleased with how the Lightning played. And I think it's because of what my expectations were coming into the game yesterday. I figured that would be the best game Florida would have played maybe this season, understanding their season is on the line. And let me make a proclamation again today on this show. I had said on Friday that I felt like the series was over. Some people were very uncomfortable with me saying that, and I understand that. You're dealing with the Florida Panthers. You still have a lot of hockey left, but from what I was watching, looking at the statistics and the numbers, knowing that you had to beat Tampa Bay and specifically Andre Vasilevsky four out of the next five games, I just felt like saying, you know what? I don't think this team is going to let that happen. And now that they won yesterday's game and they're up 3-0, well, I feel more confident that the Lightning are going to come away with a series win, whether it's tonight or Wednesday or whenever they play. I think beating Andre Vasilevsky four times in a row with how well he has played recently is a tough task for any team. I don't care how talented they are, just like the Florida Panthers. But partner, as I kick it over to you, understanding the situation last night and knowing that theoretically the Lightning should have been getting the Florida Panthers best because their backs were against the wall, I thought that was one of the more impressive wins for the Lightning in the playoffs, and I think I can make a case so far in this series. Understanding what they were up against and knowing how much pressure was on the Panthers to perform. But once again, I come away from the game yesterday, the Lightning only giving up one goal. And their goaltender, obviously a big part of that, but their team defense, particularly in the third period, when you knew the Panthers were going to be pushing hard, I didn't feel like the Panthers, outside of a few opportunities in that game, were all that dangerous. And I know we're going to get into some of the instances where they were, and Vasi was there to clean it up. But again, context. Understanding what they were up against and the fact that the Panthers needed that game, I was expecting way more pushback from the Panthers yesterday. And I didn't see enough of it. I'm a little shocked, but I think it's more of a compliment to what the Lightning are doing than what the Panthers aren't. And now they find themselves in a really tremendous position to clinch things tonight, which, let's face it, to get a short series with how much hockey this team has played, partner, over the last couple of years, I think is a big, big deal, particularly all the shots they've been blocking and how many guys are banged up because of that.
Well, I'm probably going to differ with you a little bit from your assessment, which I respect, and it's not to say that I'm right, but I mean, I'll give you my take on game three, where I'm going to give the Panthers probably a little bit more credit than what you just did. But if we back up to before the series started, kind of my cautionary statement was, you know, the Lightning have to bring a really high defensive level against this team, because if you give them Christmas presents, they will absolutely kill you. And for the most part in the series, the Lightning have done a good job avoiding that. In fact, I think a lot of the comments from the players, both post game three and what we heard pre game four, because Corey Perry met with the media about an hour ago, he talked about not feeding the beast or something along those lines. I think Ross Colton said the same thing. So that must have been the expression that was used in the locker room as the coaches kind of went over the game plan. And feeding the beast is sloppy puck play that will allow the Panthers to get going in transition. And the Panthers have not gotten much of that in the series. As a result, or at least in part because of that, they have not been able to score as many goals as they are accustomed to. And so if the Lightning were going to hold the Panthers to a smaller goal total, I didn't know it was going to be one in each of the first three games, but let's say three or less, the question that I was posing, and I think you were posing too, was how would the Panthers handle it? How would the Panthers handle it if they fall behind by a couple of goals and can't rely on their offense to just rattle off two, three, four goals in a row like they did during the regular season? And frankly, in some of the games in their first round series against Washington, how would they handle it if it's 1-1 late in the third, which is what we saw in game two? And to this point, I think it's safe to say they have not handled it well. But I think there is a difference that we can see in each of the three games. Yes, the Panthers scored a total of one goal in each of the three games, but how they got to that one goal was different. Game one, I thought the Panthers didn't really have their A game going at all. They were very flat, and they didn't execute well. And so I actually thought that the Lightning didn't need to be as good defensively as maybe they would need to be later in the series, because the Panthers weren't making plays like we are accustomed to seeing them make. Game two, they brought a way higher urgency level. They were far from flat. They were very physical. There were points in game two where they really tilted the ice and applied a lot of pressure. But I felt the Lightning did a good job meeting the challenge of that defensively, so that even when the Panthers pressed, they kept the scoring chance number low, and the number of chances that the Panthers got, of the chances that they got, they were just okay. They weren't like phenomenal chances where you're saying, Vasi, save us here. Game three, the Panthers weren't as physical. I mean, they weren't. They were the road team, and maybe that was part of the game plan. But I thought Florida's level of execution offensively was the best that we have seen so far in the series. And going hand in hand with that, certainly earlier in the game, the Lightning were having puck management issues. So if you look at the first period, both teams scored a goal. The Lightning outshot the Panthers 11-8, and shot attempts were 20-10. So our old favorite topic, Greg, analytics. You might look at that and say, boy, the Lightning doubled the shot attempts. They must have done a really good job with possession. They had the majority of the possession. They probably dictated play. Well, they did have the majority of the possession, but I thought the Panthers had the far better chances in the first period. They had 8 shots. 4 of those were among the best chances they have had to this point in the series. Reinhardt scored on a really well-executed power play sequence, which had an impact on Florida's power play later in the game, which is a big key in how the Lightning got this game in the win column. But Florida finally broke the bubble, burst the bubble on the power play. Great puck movement, terrific execution, prime look for Reinhardt right at the hash marks. He didn't hesitate. He zipped it in. Reinhardt had 2 other chances in the first period. One of those came late in the period, a backdoor feed from Bennett to Reinhardt. Vasilevskiy made a side-to-side sliding save with his skate. Were we seeing that from him in the first 2 games? I don't remember him having to make saves like that. So that was a breakdown by the Lightning on coverage, rush coverage, and Bennett made a great pass to Reinhardt. That's Florida Panthers hockey. Usually that puck is going in for them. Vasilevskiy said no. Earlier, when it was 0-0, Hedman had a turnover in the neutral zone, and Maxi Mammon, who had a really good debut in the series, he had 6 shots for Florida, had a breakaway. Vasilevskiy makes a really good save on that. Can we remember other breakaways the Panthers had in games 1 and 2? I can't. So that was off a turnover, and then right after that, the puck comes in front to Reinhardt, and he's alone. And Vasi makes a save on him. So of their 8 first period shots, for sure, 4 were incredible scoring chances. They got 1 to the Panthers, but Vasi stopped the other 3. That was really important, clearly, to help the Lightning get out of the period 1-1. In the second period, the Panthers had way more possession. And I would say up until the point that Stamkos scored to make it 3-1, they were making the Lightning feel fairly uncomfortable. And the fact that they scored on their power play in the first period did give their power play a jolt of confidence. And you saw it when they got their second power play, which came after Chernak's goal had made it 2-1. The Lightning were hurt by the fact that Nick Paul broke his stick right at the beginning of that kill. There was one clear the Lightning got basically to the red line, and then the Panthers brought it right back in. But essentially, the entire 2 minutes were spent in the Tampa Bay defensive zone. There were 8, count them, shot attempts the Panthers had during the power play. 4 on net. Vasi stopped all 4. 4 were blocked. They were zipping the puck around. They were very dangerous. And then this went down as an even strength attempt. Seconds after the penalty ended, McDonough saves a goal. He gets his stick on an open net chance for Huberto, and the puck deflects over the crossbar. But if you look at how the Panthers were playing in the second period up until that point, or through that point, I guess, like, they were buzzing. Barkov hit the post off the rush right before that power play started. The Lightning were having more problems in the second period than I can remember in either of the first 2 games clearing the zone. The Panthers' forecheck was quite good. But they got through that kill to keep it 2-1. And then they get a chance off the rush and score the third goal. Stamkos from Kucherov. And I thought that really took a lot of the wind out of Florida's sails. The Panthers had one last power play at the end of the period. And again, their power play had been looking good in the earlier 2. And this one wasn't bad either. They had a shot from Hornquist. Hedman had a big block right at the end of the period on Duclair as the power play was ticking down. But the Lightning got through that kill, and I thought the third period was the Lightning's best defensive period. Panthers had 15 shots, so people might say, well, they had 15 shots. The level of chances the Panthers had weren't in the same category as what they had had earlier in the game, talking about in the third. They had the one from Mammon where Vasi makes the save and Ruta sweeps it off the goal line. But other than that, I thought the Lightning kind of got back to what we were seeing from them earlier in the series. And some of that was score effects. I mean, the Panthers had pushed and pressed, and they were kind of clicking offensively. But at the end of 2 periods, they're down 3-1. And they're like, Ooh. Like, you could just feel it, that they couldn't generate the same level of enthusiasm in making plays that we had seen from them maybe earlier in the game when it was either tied or they were down by one. That's why that penalty kill leading to the Stamkos goal was probably the biggest swing in the game. And again, I'm giving the Panthers credit, but I'm giving them credit basically for the first, whatever it was, 31 minutes of the game, right? Because after Stamkos scored, I thought the Lightning kind of locked it down much better in the second half. But to me, this was a different sort of game than either game one or game two, in that we saw more of kind of the regular season Panthers at the beginning of the game. But whether it was the Lightning just hanging in there defensively, a key block shot here, a missed net attempt there, Vasi making really a 10-bell save to keep the Panthers to that one goal. It was a different formula for the Lightning. But once they went up by two, I think they used a similar formula, in that they were able to kind of manage the rest of the game pretty well. And they actually probably had more chances in the third period than the Panthers. They had a ton of close calls, Greg, right around the net. Bobrovsky made a couple of saves. There were chances that just went wide. Colton just ran out of real estate on a backdoor play. I mean, that would have been 4-1 early third, and it probably would have definitely been lights out at that point. But I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know what we're going to see tonight. I mean, the Panthers may be able to come out and get rewarded, unlike in game three, and then they get some swagger to their game and try and use that to extend the series. What I am saying is, what I saw in game three was more dangerous looks from the Panthers than what we had seen earlier in the game. But I guess in the end, it doesn't matter because they only scored one. And so no, going and back I to think, the original point, yeah, they have only scored one goal in each of the first three games. I just think that the way the Lightning got to that one goal against number was a little bit different, particularly in yesterday's game.
I think we reached to the same conclusion. I'm looking at it more. I knew that at some point, well, maybe not. I didn't know. You assumed. The reason why I thought this was the most impressive win of the series is because of everything you just said. We had not seen the Panthers' best push offensively. At some point, that was going to come. I didn't think it was going to happen in game three. I thought actually it was going to happen in game two. I'm surprised it took this
long. Or
how
about in game one?
In game one, correct.
Yeah.
But in game three, yes, they did have some glorious scoring chances, but I was not upset, maybe that's the wrong word, disturbed by those chances, Dave, because I'm looking at it fairly and saying, okay, this is arguably the best team offensively in the NHL. And while they have struggled in the first two games against Tampa Bay scoring goals, at some point they were going to generate some of that offense. Now, the one Victor Hedman with his turnover and the breakaway by Mammon, that was a self-inflicted wound. I mean, up until that point, the Lightning were, as you and Phil had noted, the first 10 minutes of the game really felt like a filling out process. I was surprised by that. It felt like after that breakaway, the Panthers got some juice. Now, again, I think that was Lightning-induced, but however it came about, I wasn't shocked that the Panthers hit a post, maybe had more sustained pressure in game three, and I didn't necessarily look at this, and I'm not saying you did, as a critique on the Lightning. I just felt like, okay, finally, the Panthers had some sustained pressure offensively. This is what it was supposed to look like right from the bat in game one. And the fact that the Lightning were able to withstand that, and the fact that the Lightning were able to come out of the second period leading 3-1, I looked at it and said, you know what? All things considered, they took one of the Panthers' best shots, maybe the best shot, for 31 minutes, as you just said, and they had a two-goal lead in a game the Panthers needed to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chalk me up that for me, this game in general, the Lightning weren't flawless defensively. But I think a lot of that was because the Panthers finally pushed offensively. And it's how you handle those momentum swings that I talk about so often, particularly the last 2 years. And it was a knock I had against the Islanders. What are you doing with that momentum that you get? And for the Panthers, all they had to show for it was a goal. Now, to Steve Erskine's credit, he points out Ryan McDonagh gets a stick on a Huberdeau wide open net right after their power play expires. Partner, that could have been a 2-2 game. Yeah. Lightning score to make it 3-1. Okay, that's Ryan McDonagh making a play. The Florida Panthers not. And that's kind of, we get into this championship level winning and making the right plays at the right time. Chernak with his shot. Did anybody envision a shot like that beating Bobrovsky? And then I thought the third period, to your point, the Lightning really were in control. I mean, that was an impressive display of hockey the last 20 minutes. But I guess just putting a bow on my bigger thoughts of Game 3 and why I felt it was the most impressive for me, it's more because of the Panthers and what they generated offensively. The Lightning, I didn't think were going to be able to do what they did defensively through Games 1 and 2 for two more wins in this series. I just felt like the Panthers at some point with that offense were going to make the Lightning a little uncomfortable in their own zone and make Vasi really work. And in Game 3, he did. No question about it. But because of that, the Lightning took their best punch and they came away with the win in a game that the Panthers needed to have. Really, I think you can say disappointing results for the Panthers in Game 3, and I would agree with that. You have guys who get paid a lot of money to bury those chances of sustained pressure, and they really didn't do it. Now they find themselves down 0-3, and to your point, Dave, I don't know what to expect tonight, honestly. I'm going to read some text messages I got from some fans who are hockey fans who are kind of like, what's going on with the Florida Panthers? Like, where's the intensity right from the start? And I think that's a fair question. And I think it's something that what they did in Game 3, I think a lot of people, if they go on to lose this series, are going to look back and say, where was this in Game 1 and Game 2? Why weren't you able to get more sustained pressure offensively? Understanding that the Lightning have something to do with that. But I think we saw in Game 3, when the Panthers wanted to push it a little bit, they started to generate more dangerous scoring chances. I think, one, the Lightning did a good job to kind of navigate their way through it, and two, the Panthers didn't do anything with it. And maybe that's the biggest surprise from Game 3, whether it's a post, whether it was a Vasi breakaway save. I mean, you're not going to get a ton of chances against the Lightning, as we've seen in the playoffs, because defensively they raised their game to another level. I'm surprised the Panthers haven't done more with some of their chances, specifically in Game 3. And I think this is a deflated team. I don't know what they're going to produce tonight. My guess is, you know, they're going to empty the tank early on to try and get a lead. I mean, let's see what they do with a lead and maybe a multi-goal lead. But I think the Lightning have a killer instinct going on here. And I think, as Steven Stamkos said, listen, you know, we've got a chance here to, you know, make this a short series. And understanding that Florida has played okay but not great, I think the Lightning understand the opportunity ahead. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Lightning come through with a very good effort tonight, knowing that they can wrap this up in four.
Well, I do want to get to the game tonight, but I have a final thought, maybe not a final thought. If we have fan questions about yesterday's game, we can circle back to it.
Sure.
Like, I talked a lot about what the Panthers did offensively to generate pressure, generate chances. Vasi made some great saves. Lightning hung in there when, you know, they had pressure against them. That second period kill when they were basically stuck in their own zone for the full 2 minutes, down a stick a long way from your bench as well. Long change in the second. Like, that's just gutsy hockey, and they kept the puck out. But the other end of the ice was important, too, because had the Panthers held the Lightning to just the one goal, similarly, like, it was 1-1 after one. So what happened in the second period? The Lightning outscored the Panthers 2-0. So the Lightning were more efficient when they had looks to put them in the net. It's not like the Lightning were back in their heels for the entire first half of Game 3. I agree with you. The beginning was a little bit of a feeling out process. I think both teams understood how important it was to not make an early mistake. But the game did open up. Maybe it was that Mammon breakaway allowed the game to open up. The Lightning scored the first goal not long after that on a Perry tip. But the Panthers tied it on the power play, and again, I thought they had more chances, better chances, and maybe more chances, too, than the Lightning in the first period. But in the second, I mean, the Lightning made some plays in the offensive zone themselves. So Nick Paul got banged up in the first period. He missed the end of the first period. He didn't take a shift until that penalty kill where he broke his stick. which was over 6 minutes into the second period. So toward the end of the first and the first 6.5 minutes, let's say, of the second, Nick Paul was on the bench, at least at the start of the second, but he didn't take a shift. The Lightning were already at 11 forward, so now you're down to 10. So we saw some massive line juggling going on. So on the Chernak goal, Killorn and Palat come over the boards. Normally, Paul would be with them, but Paul was not available. So the Lightning send out Ross Colton. On the draw against Barkov, who along with Giroux are the two best faceoff guys on Florida, Colton wins the faceoff. So the Lightning get possession. They cycle it. Palat, I think he's trying to pass it to Colton in the middle of the ice, but it missed Colton. He obviously got a little tiny piece of the puck because he got an assist on the goal. But it worked out perfectly because it came cross ice to Chernak, who's on his offside. He's a righty on the left side of the ice. He has a good angle there, and he has room to step to the circle because I don't think the Panthers are expecting the puck to go cross ice there. And he finishes a perfect shot. I don't know that you can blame Bobrovsky on that. That's top shelf, high glove, far post. On the Stamkos goal, it's a terrific outlet from Hedman off the boards to Kucherov, who accepts the puck and then accelerates into the offensive zone. We often talk about Kucherov kind of slowing down. I thought he sped up there, and he kind of froze the Panthers' defenders because Kuch went to the middle of the ice. So they didn't want to leave the middle of the ice. So they hug the middle of the ice, and then, of course, Kucherov sees Stamkos open at the left circle with the Panthers' defenders more in the middle of the ice. It was an open look for Stamkos, and Bobrovsky has to stay honest to a potential shot from Kucherov, so he's moving. I mean, that's right in Stamkos' wheelhouse. He's got an open look to the net with the goalie moving from left to right, and Bobrovsky got a piece of it, but the thing had so much mustard on it, it went off of him and in. So, like, if you're the Panthers, you're like, man, we did better generating chances, but we're snake-bitten, a post, a block. Their goalie stopped some shots. You know what? Keep the puck out of your own net. Keep it 1-1. They couldn't do that. I'm not really blaming Bobrovsky. What I'm saying, though, is the Lightning made a couple of plays offensively. That got them the lead from which they could basically settle into their, we're D-ing up now. And we're going to make it really hard on you to get chances. No more turnovers. No more difficulty clearing the zone. You're going to have to work for every inch of ice. And I thought that's what we saw over the second half of the game.
It's a great point. Let's take your questions at Bolts Radio on the other side of the break. What do you think happens tonight? And with the Lightning up 3-0, how impressive have they been through three games? This has been pretty incredible, and we'll get into some more stats and look ahead to tonight's game. What are the expectations? Did the Lightning finally get the Panthers' best shot from start to finish? We'll see how that plays out coming up in just a couple of minutes. He's Dave Michigan. I'm Greg Linnelli. Steve Versnick is our producer. It is Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play.
This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
Boy, time flies when you're having fun. At Bolts Radio, half hour into the show already. Greg Linnelli, Dave Michigan with you. Steve Versnick, our producer. Hit us up on Twitter. Does the sweep happen tonight? And is this the most surprising result so far in the playoffs? Nick says, no doubt it's a surprise. They have 3-0, even more so. The Florida has yet to give us a response. Yes, they put up plenty of chances, but Vasi, Mac, Chernak, etc. Our guys are willing to do literally whatever it takes, and the other guys have yet to show heart. I always get a little dicey when I see we start to call out not showing heart. I think the Panthers do, partner. I think, you know, could their morale be at a pretty all-time low? For sure.
That's what it is.
And I don't know if it's heart and not competing. I think the Lightning have sucked everything out of them and some. And like us at the beginning of the show, being in a little bit of a disbelief that they're down 0-3, imagine being a player from the Panthers and having the regular season they did, winning the first round, even though it wasn't pretty, they got through it. Going for what they did at the trade deadline and before the season started to make sure your team had as much depth as possible under a cap. Dealing with Joel Quenneville being gone, new head coach, interim, and dealing with all of that, coming away with the best record in the league, and then facing elimination in the fourth game against your most heated rival. I think it's stunning. I do. And like I said before, partner, who knows how this series is going to play out, but I think it's fair to say before the series started, I think you'd be hard-pressed to say there wasn't another matchup between two teams that was more intriguing than this one. And when I say intriguing, just had a lot of storylines. It had the rivalry. It had the talent. It had the storyline. A team going for a three-peat and a team who was trying to get that first one who was coming off a great regular season.
So I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, I think a lot of people were excited about this series based on what we saw last year. But maybe there is something to the fact that in the first round, teams are finding their game. And like Stamkos said, everyone's going 100 miles an hour. And when you're going 100 miles an hour, maybe there are more mistakes made. And I think the early part of Lightning Panthers 2021 was incredibly exciting and dramatic because the team defenses were way behind the offenses. I know I've been consistent with this. I thought in games 5 and 6, both teams kind of settled in defensively. And those games felt different than the first four. But at that point, the Lightning were up 3-1. And so they split the last two and won the series. This year, first of all, both teams have defended better, I think, than what we saw in the early part of last year's series. It's just the Lightning have defended better than the Panthers have in this series. The Lightning are defending at a level that we didn't really see from them in the Florida series last year. And maybe they needed that first round series against Toronto to have their defensive game kind of click into place, which is what I said last year about their series with the Panthers. They needed that series to kind of get their defensive game to click into place because they were far better defensively from the second round on after they got through the Florida series last year. To this point this year, starting with Game 7 in Toronto, they've been really, really good defensively. So
I think you bring up a good point, partner. I think it might be twofold. I think it might be, one, that experience playing Florida last year and what happened in that series. I also think, too, it's the Braden Point effect. I think there
you brought that up.
I think there's something to be said for both of those things kind of coming together at the right time in this series. They understand what Florida can do. So I don't think it's a coincidence, partner, that you're seeing a lot of the shot blocks. You're seeing desperation hockey. Phil has mentioned this a number of times. We had Anthony Cirelli on as one of our guests. I mean, the level of urgency to get your body in front of a puck, I think, has been higher in this series than we've seen maybe over the last 2+ years in the playoffs. And then I also think understanding that your margin of error isn't as great because of Braden Point being out. So there is maybe a little bit more discipline to what they're doing defensively. Obviously, Vasi and Kucherov are playing at a very high level over the last 4 or 5 games. That has helped. But I think the team collectively, defensively, is playing at a pretty high level. Nick also wants to know, partner, do you think we'll see urgency on the Lightning's end tonight with the chance to get about a week off? That would be huge for us. As always, appreciate you guys. Keep it up. Distant Thunder in D.C.
Well, I do think the Lightning understand they have to bring a high urgency level, not just because they want to end the series, but also because they understand that the fourth win is the hardest to get. We hear that a lot. And why is it the hardest to get? Because the other team has no margin for error, and they usually, anyway, leave it all hanging out on the ice. So their urgency level is super high. But, I mean, we'll know it when we see it, right? Or at least we'll have to wait until shortly after 7 o'clock tonight to see how it unfolds. The other point I wanted to make about kind of the feel of this series and, like, why does it feel like the Panthers don't have a high urgency level, which I don't know is completely accurate, but like you said, you saw some text messages from friends of yours who were inquiring about this. And I think this is true probably for most teams in the playoffs, but like if you lose your swagger, you can look flat. And the Panthers have not had very much go their way in this series. When something has gone their way, they've had something else happen shortly thereafter to snatch any positive vibe away from them. And I'm reminded in a way of, and it's not a great comparison because the situation is very different, but I'm reminded in a way of Lightning Blue Jackets 2019. And why I'm reminded of that series, Lightning had a great start in that series, certainly. They went up 3-0 in the first period. But when the Jackets completed their game one comeback, for the rest of that series, over the final three games and whatever part of game one you want to attribute to the Jackets rallying, either nothing good happened for the Lightning, only bad things happened for the Lightning, or if they had a glimmer of hope, the Jackets made a play to snatch it away.
Yeah.
And that keeps you feeling down. And it's hard to play on your toes when you're feeling down. I think we kind of heard that from some of the Florida players and Andrew Brunette, frankly, after the game yesterday, that, you know, they want to try and come back. They led the league in comeback wins this year. They were the comeback cats. The Lightning are making it hard on them, but why are they having to come back? They're having to come back because they're falling into a hole, right? Or they get a play and they're like, all right, let's go. And then something else happens and they take a gut punch. Not the least of which certainly was the way game two ended, right? That was a severe gut punch. So that's kind of how I think we've gotten to where we've gotten through these first three games. But just as easily as swagger and confidence can leave you, it can return. And we saw that from the Panthers with their power play, which was at its most dangerous in game three, not coincidentally because they scored in their first opportunity. So that is why I think the approach that we heard from John Cooper and Corey Perry this morning about, like, we've done nothing. What we've done to this point means nothing unless we get the fourth win is the right approach. Because while I don't believe there is such a thing as momentum between games, like Jason Cullimore said to you, there is such a thing as confidence between games, or that can carry from game to game. And if the Panthers get a win tonight and start feeling good about themselves, maybe they will look a little different moving forward in the series. So the Lightning don't want to even open that door a crack.
I think that's
right?
A good point. Yeah, because, you know, I don't know if they have confidence coming into the game tonight. I think that's going to have to materialize throughout the game.
Right.
Because even for
I would agree
anything,
with that.
Because anything they did well in that game yesterday was squashed based off of what the Lightning were able to do to counter that. And so I actually think the morale for the Panthers is pretty down. Now, we could go in here and say the Panthers should just have a loosey-goosey attitude, so to speak. I mean, what at this point, what do you have to lose?
Right.
Now, obviously, their season can be over, but you understand playing with a little bit more swagger if they can somehow manufacture that. I think that's going to be tough to do, and I think that's a credit to what the Lightning have been able to take away through three games. You know, and I see some Panther fans. Again, I have my tweet deck open, and I have certain words that I'm following for this series, like hashtag go Bolts, and I'm seeing some people say, well, Spencer Knight needs to be put into the lineup to try and jumpstart this team. I don't know if that's going to help, honestly. I mean, Bobrovsky, I think, has played pretty well.
Yeah,
I mean,
that would really be more of a
that's a desperation.
Like a shifting of the team's momentum type.
And that look, I think when you're down 0-3, all things are on the table. Mm-hmm. We had talked about on Friday, would there be some things they would do personnel wise? You know, maybe on the power play, they put Hornqvist in their partner to see if he could bring in more of a presence. He was okay. He's going to go to the net. He tried his hardest to mix things up. Took a terrible penalty at the end of the first period, which could have really been an issue for the Panthers. I mean, the Lightning were able to get the 2-1 goal 3 minutes after that kill. But, I mean, that's something Patrick Hornqvist can't do. I understand why what he's trying to do, but he can't do it. And so I think they're pretty limited with what they can do from a personnel standpoint outside of switching up the lines a little bit. I mean, it is pretty remarkable to look at this team, at least yesterday. Now, look, Dave, I don't know, again, if it's an accurate indication of how they played, but Huberto and Barkov were a combined -7. Now, Barkov had six shots on goal.
The empty netters had an impact in that. But
for sure.
Fair
I mean,
point.
Let's put it this way. Huberto, I think, has been a little bit more impactful than Barkov. And Barkov maybe has had some chances and has not capitalized, and maybe that is a better way to describe it. But Dave, I think you and I both agree he's their best player.
Mm-hmm.
He is their best player, and he has not had, let's put it this way, he's not had a Nikita Kucherov moment yet during the series where, I mean, Kuch, let's face it, I mean, they don't have an answer for him. As Sergachev said, look, first period maybe didn't play as well as he wanted to in game three, but second and third periods, he's making plays, and boy, the pass, the play he makes, getting that Hedman pass, and then over to Stamkos. I mean, he's had a couple of really signature moments in back-to-back games, and I think the Panthers are looking for that right now, and they just haven't found it.
Well, I actually felt, and maybe I need to qualify this between kind of the first half of game three and the second half of game three, but when the Panthers were kind of looking dangerous, I felt Barkov was in the middle of it. I thought it was Barkov's best game of the series from the standpoint of what he was doing offensively with the puck or getting open for his teammates. He did hit the post in the second period.
Yep.
He was part of those dangerous power play looks the Panthers had. So if I'm going to look at the Florida roster, who do I think kind of stepped up more than what we had seen from them in the first couple of games? And I would include Barkov in that list. I thought Reinhardt had his best game in the series, and not just because he scored the goal, but I talked about the other chances that he had. And look, they didn't get the win, but the lineup change that Brunette made, putting Maxi Mammon in, seemed to pay dividends because Mammon was one of their most dangerous players. He had six shots in the game. So those three guys stood out, and I thought it was less impactful, but he had the pass to Reinhardt on that first period chance. I thought it was Bennett's probably his best game in the series so far. In terms of, like, what are you doing with the puck? How uncomfortable are you making the other team? But at the end of the day, like we've been saying, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for the Panthers.
No,
so they're going to need more. And if McDonough doesn't get his stick on that Huberdeau shot, then Huberdeau has a goal. He's working on a two-point game. The power play is feeling good about itself, although that would have technically been an even strength goal because it was a few seconds after the power play ended. And maybe that helps him. Because he's had a fairly quiet playoff,
correct,
even going back to the Washington series, based on what he did during the regular season. I mean, this guy had 85 assists.
I know.
He was in the neighborhood of, like, NHL record for assists in a season by a winger, and that record is held by Nikita Kucherov, who had 87. So he was within a stone's throw of that mark, and he had 115 points. He has not been able to replicate that in the postseason so far, but some of it is, like, he had a goal there on his stick, and McDonough made a desperation play, and it stayed out.
Yeah, and Verhaeghe needs to get going. You know, he's kind of shown some glimpses of trying to create in the offensive zone with some good forechecking, and, I mean, you know, whether he's banged up or not, we'll probably find out at some point.
Right.
But
he really got going after the third game in the Washington series.
Yeah,
he had 12 points, and most of those came in games 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
Of course, at that point, the Panthers were down 2-1 after three games, not 3-0.
He needs to get going. I'm stating the obvious here, but it's obvious to point out that if the Panthers are going to get back into this, their star players really need to perform.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at their top six and lump everybody together. Basil says, Bolts remind me of Ollie's rope-a-dope back in the day. Defend hard against a high-octane opponent, allowing them to do little damage. Then pick your moments to pounce when they get tired, frustrated, or make a mental mistake. Astonished that they're up 3-0 on this team.
See, I don't think that's giving the Lightning enough credit, because that makes it sound like they're picking their spots and they're having, like, 4 to 5 counter opportunities a game and they're having to pop them in. I think that they've given probably as good as they've gotten in terms of pressure applied in the offensive zone in the series. We've talked about it. There have been swings within these games. I mean, the first 10 minutes of the third period, the Lightning could have scored 3 goals. They were the ones applying pressure. And we saw it at points in game 2, for sure.
Hedman and Kuch almost had a tip-in, you know, 50 seconds into the game.
Yes.
You remember that? And then Hagel had a decent shot. So the Lightning, you're right.
Rope-a-dope, however he put it. Was it rope-a-dope? I mean, that kind of implies that you're just sitting back, letting the opposition tire itself out. And then when they get tired or frustrated, then you pounce, right? I don't think it's been that. I think the Lightning have dug in defensively, and they've had to dig in at different levels based on what has come at them in the different games in the series that I talked about at the top of the show. But their level of defensive play has been fairly consistent and consistently high, although yesterday's game was the first game of the series where they really had some issues with puck management, at least early in the game, that could have cost them. And they had problems with, this is kind of puck management, but also kind of Florida just forechecking well. Like, contested plays to get pucks out of their defensive zone was a little bit of a problem for them in the early part of yesterday's game. By early part, I mean like the first half of the second period.
You know, I despise when players and coaches at the end of the game lose and they say, we hurt ourselves. The other team, you know, they don't want to give credit too much to the other team. At least that's the way sometimes I interpret it. I will say this. The Panthers got going yesterday in the first period at the direct result of Victor Hedman and Zach Bogosian turning the puck over.
Mm-hmm.
Because you remember the Hedman pass, as we just talked about with the breakaway. But then after that, Reinhart was in close, and Bogosian had a tough time clearing the puck.
Yeah, those are two chances that we were talking about.
Those are two chances right off the bat that were self-inflicted. I mean, the one with Hedman, nobody was around him. It just was he fanned on the pass. Look, that happens. It's not a knock on him. The game, I don't want to say everybody was sleepwalking, but through the first 10 minutes, everybody was just, you know, feeling each other out. The Lightning had a couple of decent looks. I actually think for the first 10 minutes, the Lightning played better than the Panthers, considering what was on the line for the Panthers in that game. And then all of a sudden, the Lightning get two self-inflicted turnovers, and it felt like from there, the Panthers were able to gain some momentum, but they didn't do much with it outside of the one goal.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, again, you tell me before this series started, Dave, that the Panthers would have three total goals in this series, I would have said, what are you taking? Because I saw somebody who covers the Panthers tweet out earlier this morning that I think the Panthers had only three games this year where they scored one goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that stat too.
And now it's three in a row. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that's why you play. A good portion of that is Vasi, and the level of commitment, blocking shots. This has really turned into a story this series. I mean, that we are seeing sacrifice like we've never seen when it comes to blocking shots, and it's everybody.
So let me ask you a question: do you think the fact that games 3 and 4 are in back-to-back days, whoever won game 3, will that team, is it better for that team that it's a back-to-back, or is it better for the team that lost the game that they get to come right back? I don't know the answer to that. I do remember when the Lightning went up 3-0 on Montreal in 2015. That was a back-to-back. And the Canadiens came back the very next night and blew out the Lightning in game 4. That was the one series in which the Lightning went up 3-0 and were taken to a sixth game, because the Canadiens won game 5 as well before the Lightning closed out the series. All the other series, and there haven't been a ton of them, but series in which the Lightning have gone up 3-0 have either been a sweep or they've closed it out in 5, including the Stanley Cup final against Montreal last year. I don't know if you have a sense about that. Like, is it better for the Panthers that they get to come right back the next day to try and get that first win?
I mean, I think they'll probably tell you that, and I think logic would tell you that the Panthers would do better to get right back out there. But I also think the Lightning understand that. I don't think their level of play has dipped all that much through 3 games. I think they're right where they need to be. I think the Lightning, let's put it this way, advantage Tampa Bay. They're at home. They have a chance to close it out. I think it's a wounded opponent. And while I think the Panthers theoretically could come out and have themselves a game, I also think, again, we have to take into consideration that the Lightning have this championship pedigree and have a chance to really give the final blow here. And there's nothing to suggest through 3 games that their level of play is going to dip considerably. Now, maybe the Panthers get to a level that the Lightning can't match tonight. I'll believe that when I see it. So to answer your question, and to be fair, I think it benefits the Lightning, and I think there's a very good chance they close it out tonight. And we'll see if I'm right.
Yeah, and when you talk about a level the Panthers would get to, that would be born from the circumstances of they are facing elimination and have no margin for error. And the reality is the Lightning do have margin for error. They could lose horribly tonight and still be in a great position in the series, but you don't want that to enter your mind. I'm guessing that's what you're saying about a level from the Panthers would be based on the fact that it's literally like, this is it, right? They need this game or else their season is over.
Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting, and I keep saying this, maybe I thought we were going to see this in game one. I'm expecting to see the Panthers just be a juggernaut. And not only, Dave, based off of what they did this year, but based off of what they did last year. We're going to see this surge offensively. And we haven't seen it yet. And maybe there's still a chance for them to get that done tonight. But I don't know. I like the Lightning's chances closing this thing out. Ian Margle is a reporter at WPLG Local 10 in Miami. And he says, wait, NHL player safety doesn't care about player safety? Shocking. Hagel could have paralyzed Lostarinen, but gets a minor penalty and a small fine. You should be ashamed of yourselves, NHL. For Lightning fans who are inevitably going to reply and read the thread, it's not about you. So I guess he's upset about the hit. And Hagel, by the way, was fined. He was
Well, look, fined. He could have been injured. That's true. But the reason it was not a major was how flagrant was the cross-check. So the effect was worse than the cause. I mean, maybe that's putting it a little inartfully. And first of all, let me just state up front. I'm really glad Lostarinen is okay. I don't even think he missed a shift. But that is true. Like, you could go headfirst into the boards and sustain a really serious injury. But from the perspective of, like, what should the penalty call be? Like, what did the player who committed the infraction actually do? Did he propel Lostarinen into the boards, or did he nudge him and the player stumbled and that's why he went into the board so hard? I think it was the latter more than the former, but they needed the review to see that, because originally they called a major. And you know who has a long window in which they can look at a play and make a determination whether you love them or hate them? The DOPS. I mean, they don't have to make a decision in 5 minutes. They can take a look at it and make their determination. And this reporter wasn't happy with their decision, but their decision was that was worthy of a fine, nothing more. And I think the reason it was worthy of a fine, nothing more, was what did the cross-check look like? And it was more of a nudge than a shove.
See, I take the opposite view of that, and I have no tolerance, whether it's a Lightning player or somebody else. I've told you, the lack of respect over the years that I have seen with players do things like that with a player's jersey, his numbers looking you square in the face, astounds me. I will stand firm with that.
Mm-hmm.
That
you have been consistent.
That was a bad play. And I know it might have been a little bit of a nudge, but understand the guy's going high speed into the boards. He doesn't have control. So whether it was a little nudge or a big nudge, Dave, a little nudge was enough for him to go flying into the board. So that should tell you, if that happens, lay off. It's not going to impact the play.
That may be, but what I am doing is explaining why it was not a major and why it was only a fine. That's why.
Yeah, and I don't know, honestly, if anybody can articulate it to me in a way that makes sense. Let's just do away with that. Like, that, to me, you're right. I'm surprised there wasn't more of an injury. And I see it from everybody in the NHL. I'm astonished in an era where we're really trying to clean up the game. And player safety's first, that we still see plays like that. And, you know, when it happened, whoa. And, you know, they originally, right, it was a 5 minute, wasn't a partner, 5 minute.
Yeah.
And
then they looked at it and rescinded the major and gave him a minor. You know, you're talking about the player being injured, not so much for the on ice officials, because they don't know what's going to happen
right?
You know, from that point onward, if the player is out, if he's going to be able to return, if he can return, but a little bit later. But the Department of Player Safety knows, and they do take into account whether there was an injury on the play.
Yeah, they do. They do, which, you know, that is what it is, and I don't like that saying, but it's where we are. Coverage tonight's going to start for us at 6 o'clock with the pregame skate show, and that'll be Eric Rowlandson and Bobby the Chief Table. We'll have the pregame at 6:30. The puck drops at 7. Dave and Phil will have the call, and we were talking about lineup changes. I mean, I think the Lightning status quo probably, you know, for them.
Yeah, I mean, there was concern about Nick Paul because he missed that time late first, early second, and I don't believe he took a faceoff after he returned, unless I'm not remembering right. But he did play basically the final, whatever, 34 minutes in the game. Not all 34
minutes. Yeah, plus he was out there taking questions.
Sorry?
No, he was out there taking questions, too, after the game. You know, and I was trying to see if there was anything wrapped, not that maybe he would have had anything.
Yeah, it was hard to tell exactly what was going on because he didn't seem to be affected in terms of his ability to play once the puck was dropped. But he definitely was not taking faceoffs in the second and third. He only took 5 for the game. I think all of those came in the first period.
We'll keep
but that would be the only one, I would guess, unless somebody else got nicked up and we didn't know about it.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, that was that's the fun part about doing live radio is, you know, there was a lot of talk that, you know, Hagel may or may not have been playing yesterday's game, and you saw Nash out there, and, you know, after what happened with Hagel in game two, blocking shots, but I think that extra day probably helped a lot of those players that took shots. Lastly, before we sign off, because I want to mention it, Matthew says, I believe Chernak deserves a mention. Been playing great. He's been a big force on the ice. And that goal was phenomenal. He's got a little bit of that offensive upside.
Yeah.
Whether it's his skating or I think he has a pretty heavy shot, but that was a perfect shot, the beat Bobrovsky. I know there had been some talk that there were a couple of guys not in front of Bobrovsky, but on the edges there that maybe could have distracted him from that shot. But I mean that was top shelf.
Well, you think about Chernak has 2 postseason goals, that one, and I don't know if you remember the other one, the opening goal in last year's Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Against Montreal. That was a really nifty goal. Remember he went to the net and deflected a pass shot in? So he's definitely earned the 2 goals that he's gotten.
Right. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they all have, and an opportunity to get, you know, that's the other thing, partner, whether it's today or whether it's Wednesday, you know, I think getting that short series, if they can get one, that's going to help them if they want a three-peat. I really do. Get an opportunity to see Carolina and the Rangers beat each other up. That series is 2-1 Carolina. If that one can go the distance and the Lightning can somehow find a way to close it up tonight or in 5, you know, then they can kind of sit back and hopefully everybody's, you know, rested as much as possible. And I think that's, you know, something to keep an eye on. But it's going to be fun tonight, and we'll talk in a few hours here for Game 4.
Sounds good. Talk to you in a few.
You got it. Thanks to Steve Ersnick. Thanks to you for listening. We always appreciate it. I am Greg Lonelli. Power Lunch again tomorrow, noon to 1. Hopefully we're recapping a Lightning win, and you can listen to it all right here on Lightning Power Play.